Last summer we were talking about the inyan of parenting, of a certain mindset, not techniques of how to be parents, but how we should be thinking, what we should be feeling as we approach the malacha, malachas Hashem. That's what we were talking about last summer. And we learned, in order to do that, we were learning a kuntris. You wouldn't believe how many calls I had during the year for people who were looking for this kuntris, which is really very, very hard to get. And trying to have some copies made, but we learned the kuntris from a tzaddik in Yerushalayim by the name of Rav Silberberg, who I've been told every Shalosh Sudas has 400 or 500 people who come to hear him, his Divrei Chizuk. And I decided that I would want to do another kuntras, another inyan from Rav Silberberg, that I feel that in this area each and every one of us could use a lot of chizuk. And certainly it's connected to everything in life. The subject of simcha, of joy. We talk about it, we daven about it, we wish it upon others, and yet we find often in life that it eludes us. And again, it's not here, we're not going to be going to techniques and so on, maybe every now and then, but how to create, the Iker is how to create a mindset. Napi Derech HaBal Shem Tov, which is the way that we're going to be learning. And you all know that in Chassidus, Simcha is a cornerstone. Joy, in the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh saw one of the main reasons that he was sent into this world was to revive the Jewish people, to bring us back to life, and to give us a feeling of joy, of simcha, in our Yahadis, in our being Jewish, in our serving Hashem as Baruch these last few moments before Mashiach. And it's very appropriate that the time that we're entering into, this time of the year, is a time that's always associated, of course, with sadness. The time of the 3 weeks, the time of Shavuot, Shabbat, Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, the time of Chorban. Let me read to you what you don't have in front of you. I'll read to you, to begin with, a sentence from the writings of Rabbi Nachman Breslov from Lakuta Maharan. Rabbi Nachman said, "Al yidei morosh shchir v'asvus hamoich v'hadas begolus." Rabbi Nachman said that because of depression, morosh shchir, depression, and atzvus, and sadness, hamoich v'hadas begolus, a person's mind, a person's intellect, is in a state of exile. As a result of sadness, a person can't gather his thoughts, he can't focus on what he should be focusing on in life. And it's very hard for a person who is depressed to have yishuv hadas, to be able to have a presence of mind, of thought, to be able to return to Hashem. Therefore, people who are chalila, chronically depressed, chronically sad, one of the tragic results of that is that they find themselves far away from Hashem and far from serving Hashem. Because the real reason that people live lives that are so far from Hashem is because they never have the peace of mind to be able to focus, to concentrate, to think about what's the tachlis from this whole world, what's my point of being in this world, why did Hashem bring me to this world? Aval al yidei simcha, when a person feels joy, when a person is in a state of simcha, hamoyach meyushav, the mind is at peace, the mind is able to focus, to be at rest. Hamoyach meyushav yechen al yashiv atzma, and a person is in setumult and sebrochen, and he's able to concentrate and to think and to remember. Why is he in this world? We're going to talk a lot about that. Rabbi Nachman says that simcha, joy, is the olam hacheiros, is the world of freedom. When a person is besimcha, he's free. A person who's a chalila, who God forbid, is in a state of marashchar, of depression, a person who's in a state of marishchayra, it could be that he's standing in a mountain, you know, he's standing in the Rockies someplace, hundreds of miles from civilization, and he's still mamish as an eved. He's enslaved. A person who's depressed is enslaved. Anybody who's chalila had to been through periods of sadness or depression knows that that is such an unbelievable shibud, it's such a slavery. It doesn't allow you to breathe. It doesn't allow you to enjoy your children, to enjoy your marriage, to enjoy you being a Jew. It doesn't allow you anything. You're mamish held in the chains of that depression. But worst of all, Rabbi Nachman says, worst of all, a person can't have yeshiv hadas. You can't think freely. You're not free to be who you want to be, and you're not free to think, to really think and to focus on life. But simcha, he says, is olam acheres. Thanks. Simcha is the world of cheres, of freedom. Valkein. That's why it's brought down in the Sfarim. If you want to know whether you were forgiven, Yom Kippur, for all the days of El Rosh Hashanah, says to me, Tshuva Yom Kippur, you want to know whether things have things worked? You could see, how do you feel Motzei Yom Kippur? How do you feel after Yom Kippur is done? And one shouldn't confuse that with the euphoria of being able to eat and being done with the whole business. Motzei Yom Kippur is a time of unbelievable joy. Leich echol b'simcha lachmecha, to go and to eat and to rejoin the family with great joy. Why? Because Yom Kippur, a person is free. A person becomes a ben chayrin, is freed from all that was holding him back from being who he wants to really be. That's why we concentrate so much on hataras nedarim, on releasing us from our oaths. It doesn't just mean things that we said. It means that over time we become bound to things that are artificial and things that are not really us. Sadness and depression, Rabbi Aaron Kalina said, even though sadness itself is not a sin, it doesn't say in the Torah that being sad is a sin. It doesn't say that it's an aveir, but Rabbi Aaron Kalina said it's the cause of all aveirs. Because the moment that a person senses that he doesn't have free choice and he can't focus on what's real and what's important and who he is and what he really wants, the result of that is going to be, it's just a matter of time till he begins to behave in a way that is sinful. So Rabbi Nachman says, Valkein kshemakasha simchila daito, as daito b'cheirus fe'ena b'galus. When a person's consciousness is filled with joy, when he's able to live a life that's filled with joy, in doing so, the person enters into that realm of existence that's called the world of freedom, cheirus, and mimela is ena b'galus. He's not an exile. A person who's depressed could be living in the most beautiful apartment in the old city and staring at the Kaisel from his window, and he's in the deepest galus. He's in such a terrible galus. Like Yecheskel HaNavi said, Ani begaila, I am in galus. I might have mentioned to you last summer, so Rav Kook said, the worst galus is when the ani, when the self is in galus. When I can't really experience myself. When I'm happy, it's not real happiness. When I'm with my mishpacha, when I'm with friends, that ani begaila, that I, the I, is in a state of galus, is the most bitter galus. So Ibn Achim says that only with simcha can a person leave galus. Then, when a person is besimcha, his thoughts are now in his rishus. He becomes the master of his own thoughts. He becomes a boicher, one who chooses, instead of being a barech, one who's running, one who's escaping. He could think, what's the tachlis? What's the tachlis of his entire life? So that ultimately, this person will be able to do tshuva and will be able to return to Hashem. Aleph. I want to tell you a story, Beis. This is by way of Hakdama. Since this is the time of the 3 weeks, each and every one of us wants to find a way out of Galus. We're davening for the Jewish people to leave Galus, and each and every Jew to be able to leave his own Galus. And this is the darkest galus. In our generation, where you would think that we have so much, we have everything. In our generation, where life has become so much easier, there's such depression, there's such sadness. There's never been such an atzvus in the world as now. These last few moments before redemption, the Jewish people bechlal in general, and Jewish individuals, befrat people, are in this galus of sadness, of despair. And that's why I wanted to learn together with you this kuntzus, to be able to begin to work on simcha. Simcha is not something that just happens. Most of us are just waiting for like a good day. And if sometimes you wake up and it's, you know, it's the right kind of a day and you feel good, and you know, and then you hear a song that you like, and the kids are okay and everything's all right, and you feel the simcha. But we have to learn a way of bringing simcha into our lives, forcing simcha into our lives, not just waiting for it to happen. We have to know how to be people who are able to awaken within ourselves joy, even on days that are either plain or chalila, days that otherwise could be depressing. We have to know what the avoida of simcha is about. The simcha is an avoida. It doesn't just happen to you. Sometimes it happens, but then it comes and it goes. The question is, what can we do, and what kind of a way of thinking can we develop to strengthen within us the ability to be constantly besimcha? To really be besimcha tamid. In addition to that, I want to read to you another statement from that same Torah, Rabbi Nachman, because we need this also. Mitzvah gedol lias besimcha tamid. It's famous, right? They made into a song. Mitzvah gedol lias besimcha tamid. V'tzarech lezgaber ma'ayin v'chol ha'koyches la'hachik ha'atzvus u'mar ha'shchayru. A person has to struggle, has to work very, very hard to distance himself from all depression, from all sadness. Lias ach samech tamid, to always be besimcha. V'hu refuah l'chol minei chaloyim. I tell this to people all the time. That Rabbi Nachman says, and all the tzaddikim say, that the greatest refuah to all sicknesses. You might remember when we were kids, and some of us are older than others here, no matter what happened, no matter what was wrong, if you took an aspirin, you'd be fine. Right? In camp, there was always, they had this thing, you know, no matter what, it could be you broke your leg, take an aspirin, you'll be fine. So how could it be that there should be a refuah for all machlas? There can't be in the physical world. But the tzaddikim have taught, and Rabbi Nachman is saying here, that simcha is a refuah l'chol minei chaloyim. And you know, more and more medical science and psychology is beginning to catch up with the tzaddikim and to realize that a state of simcha, simchas hanefesh, is takeh able to bring a refuah l'chol minei chaloyim to all types of illness. Ki kol minei chaloyim boin mi'atzvus u'mar ha'shchayru. And Rabbi Nachman, who had such a distrust for medicine and was one of the pioneers in alternative medicine, so Rabbi Nachman said, you know, laughter is the best medicine. That's true. And he said that atzvah, sadness and depression, causes terrible sickness to a person, can bring all the worst sicknesses. Therefore he says, v'tzarech l'sameach es atzma b'chol mini eitzes. We'll talk about that a lot. That a person has to find all types of eitzes, all types of means, methods of being the samech oneself. Val piroiv, we'll talk about al ide mila d'shtusa, even with narishkeit, which we'll talk about soon. To be the samech oneself, even with silliness, with foolishness. But we must be besimcha tamid, always. Let me begin by telling you a story that my wife and I were discussing this story a lot yesterday. Because when I read the story, I wasn't quite sure how it made me feel. But when I read it, I said, I want to begin with this ma'aseh, and that together, over the summer, we're going to try to understand it. So I'm not saying that I understand it now, but I would like to be able to spend the entire summer coming to the pnimius, the inner truth of this story. Since the story was said by a tzaddik, by a kaddish, it must be true, even though it has a certain disturbing element to it, which you'll see in a moment. But I believe that we could unravel its mystery over the summer through learning this kuntzus together. Let me tell you the mice. It was told in the year 1926 in communist Russia. In communist Russia, there was a tzaddik who could have left but chose to stay, and he was imprisoned. It's actually the time of his imprisonment was Yud Beis Yud Gimel Tammuz, when he was freed from prison. And that's the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Rayatz from Lubavitch, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak. Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, the Rebbe Rayatz was a heroic person beyond belief. A heroic person. And he continued to spread Yiddishkeit in Russia during those terrible, terrible days. And one year, Simchas Torah, you can imagine that it was very difficult for the Jews that were with him to feel any joy, Simchas Torah. And the Rebbe said, I want to tell you a ma'isa. And the Rebbe Rayatz told the following story, which I believe he told in order to give the Chassidim a feeling of Simchas Torah. But after I read the story, I felt a little bit more depressed. But I think that we'll understand it over time. The Rebbe Rayatz said that once there was Nabuchayosim, an orphan, a boy, and he had no one to care for him. Until finally one day there was a very kind-hearted, very, very good musician who took him in. Now this musician made his parnasa not by playing in concert halls. This Jew, this musician, would go from town to town. He had these like organ grinders. He would go with his instrument and he would go to a neighborhood and he would start playing. And Jews would pass by, he would go to the chutz, he would go to the courtyard where there were Jewish families, and Jews would come there and listen, and the children and people, and they would throw him a couple of kopecks, a few pennies. So the Friedrich Rebbe said that this boy was taken by the musician, and he was treated kindly and with warmth by this musician, and he was given the job that at certain times during the music, when the organ grinder was playing the song, so during certain times, this was the whole job of the boy, was that he had some sort of a drum or cymbals, and he had to give a clap, and it had to be exactly at the right time to go with the nusach, with the niggun, to go with the niggun, and it usually went well, and people threw them pennies, and this way the organ grinder was able to care for the boy and to feed him and to clothe him and so on. The Friedrich Rebbe said that it once happened that the boy was what happened? Oh, right. See, it's a good thing I told my wife. Right, I was going to say it. So not only was his job to give a clap of the drum, but his job was to scream out, Freilicher, Freilicher, Freilicher. Right, more simcha, and he would give this clap, and you know when you scream out Leibedik, that was his job, that was the boy's job. So it once happened that the boy was daydreaming, and because of that he was completely he was off, and the musician was playing and he didn't give the clap, he gave the wrong clap at the wrong time, and the musician warned him a few times to be careful. You're ruining the entire performance, and we're not going to have any money. But the boy was just not concentrating until finally the musician gave him a smack in front of the people, gave him a whack across the head. Besides that, the boy was physically hurt. He was devastated in front of people to be so humiliated, and and the balabas gave him this clap. And everybody is looking, and people are laughing, and he's humiliated, he's embarrassed. And the balabas screamed at him that he has to do his job. So there he is standing, trying again to concentrate and to give a clap, but to scream out, Freilicher, 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 more besimcha, more besimcha, more besimcha. So the Rebbe told over this ma'aseh. The Friedrich Rebbe told over this ma'aseh. And after he said it, he left the Beis Medrash, and the Chassidim were like in shock. What does the story mean? The Rebbe wouldn't have told them if he didn't have some great meaning in telling such a ma'isa. So the Chassidim were arguing. What did the Rebbe mean by the story? What does the story mean? There are two ways of looking at this boy. One way to look at this boy is that when he would get that clap, after he got that clap, he was so embarrassed, he was so humiliated. So one way of looking at this is that It's almost ridiculous that he's screaming Feilecha, Feilecha, Besimcha, Besimcha afterwards. The whole thing is a ridiculous act, right? The whole thing is a silly act. What kind of Simcha? The boy is totally humiliated. He's in pain. He's a Yosem. He's an orphan. The whole thing is a joke. Feilecha. What kind of Feilechkeit? What kind of Simcha? The whole thing is a joke. But there were other Chassidim. And in the end, these were the Chassidim, the second group of Chassidim, and their interpretation was the one that was victorious. The second group of Chassidim said, that this is hard and this is what we're going to spend the next couple of weeks trying to understand. The second group of Chassidim said, no. The emes is, the truth is, that the organ grinder was good to the boy, and he had nobody. All he had in life was this one who took care of him, who gave him to eat, who gave him clothing, who gave him a bed. That's all he had. The fact that he was hurt, that he was embarrassed, that he was humiliated, that was just a moment. That was for that moment. Like it says about Hashem with the Jewish people, "Berega katayin azavtich." It seems to us often in life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a clap. Sometimes we're not concentrating, we're not focusing on what we're supposed to be doing in this world, and we take our mind off the niggun, and we're not screaming out Feilecha, Feilecha, Feilecha to the world, bringing people back and reminding the world that there's Ribbono Shel Olam. And then sometimes we get a clap and we're hurt and we're embarrassed, and we have to go on saying Feilecha, Feilecha, Feilecha. So who feels like it? Is it an act? Is it real? So the older Chassidim came to the conclusion that that moment of pain, of embarrassment, ki berega katayin azavtich, was a moment, but it wasn't the essence. It wasn't the essence. In the pnimius, in the mohus, in the essence of who he was, who the boy was, he understood that the organ grinder is good to him, takes care of him, and loves him. And for the moment, he felt the pain. But in the mohus, in the pnimius of who he really, really is, he believes in that message of Feilecha, 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 of being besimcha, and of bringing the entire world to be besimcha, to serve Hashem, to serve the organ grinder, and to play the niggun. That means that you and I, who it seems every single day we're hearing some terrible news about some tzaros in Klal Yisrael, certainly this past year for the Jewish people, bechlal, what's been happening in Eretz Yisrael, that it seems that one day is worse than the other. And stam in our community, among friends, tzaros, and here in our own little chevra, terrible tzaros. So a person gets clapped over the head, and we go on each day trying to get up and to daven and to tell our kids to be good Jews and to keep Shabbos and to keep mitzvahs and to keep our eyes and our ears and our minds focused on holy things and to dress properly and to act properly. And not only does the Ribbono Shel Olam want us to do all of that, he also wants us to be freilich. He wants us to be v'simcha. So it's very, very hard. Most people these days are completely overwhelmed by the tzaros of Klal Yisrael and by their own personal tzaros. They're so overwhelmed. And the Baruch Shalom, not only does he want us to go on playing the niggun and giving the clap, right? It's time to daven, bing! Time to get ready for Shabbos, boom! Time to get ready for another yontiv, boom! To play on time and to follow halacha. But not only that, but the Baruch Shalom wants us to scream out to the whole world, Feilecha, Feilecha, Feilecha! Simcha, besimcha, besimcha, leibedik. When almost everybody feels inside like they're dying. So how do you do that? And what does it mean? And the older Chassidim said, it's true, it's really true. It's really true. And the pain is not real. The pain is for a moment, but it's berega katon azavtich, v'brachimim gedoyle makabzeh. But the love, the deeper love is what's real. And it's very hard for us to feel that, to know that. So we have to try to work to come to terms with this. And therefore I chose to learn together with you this kuntres. It's part of sichas that are being put together, compiled from this extraordinary person, Rav Silberberg from Yerushalayim. I want to thank Reki Elbogen, going to the trouble as always, photostating and getting things ready. And we'll try to go through the entire kuntres. You might skip a little bit, and I'll add as we go along to try to help understand and maybe, you know, stop me if you see I'm going on too long with my own stuff. We have to try to go through the entire thing. This talk was actually given on Sukkot, which is the appropriate time. It's Man Simchas Hayin. The talk was given by Sukkot, by Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Sukkot is the time, more than any other time of the year, where we can, where we're able to draw from the joy of being Jewish, Ushafta Mayim B'Sosim Yemayinei HaYeshua. And therefore, although the talk does not revolve around Sukkot, only the last section, which by that time will already be getting close to Sukkot, but it deals with the question of Bechlal, how do I place myself into that misgeris, that framework of being the kind of a person who's able to feel joy regardless of what's happening inside of me and outside of me, that I can still be a person that lives b'simcha. And if we have time, there's another talk that he gave, Purim time, last year, 2 years ago, that provides us with some basic, simple eitzes that we could use. And I hope that Amir Shandal list, week or two, we'll be able to focus on. So let's begin the kuntres inside. You could turn to the second page. The first page is just really like a table of contents of what it's about. But we'll begin where it says Aleph. Now you have to remember that this was not written as a sefer. I said this last year. He didn't sit down to write a sefer. These were talks that he gave, and that were recorded either when it was possible by tape, or that were recorded by people who were listening, and that he reviewed. But it was not written as a sefer. Therefore, there'll be an occasional Yiddish word that's thrown in, and also there will be at certain times he'll go off into certain tangents. It's not written; it was spoken. But that's dafka what I find particularly charming and wonderful about it. That when you're learning these Torahs, you're able to in some way. I'm able to feel like, you know, I'm sitting in a Bis Medrash in Yerushalayim, and you know the lights. It's getting dark, and Shabbos is coming to an end, and to be able to be part of something that was great. So he says, "Anachne zeichen les asef keis bezman nifle v'nizga b'yosef b'makom otzim v'kodesh b'yosef." We are privileged to gather together at a most amazing time and the most holy place, right? In Yerushalayim. Kol echad mi'itanu nimtza keis b'matzav gavoh ma'od, and you know each one of us feels right now. We feel right now that we're in a very, very great, in a very, very high place in our lives, a very great time in our lives. You know, there are three dimensions of existence: Olam, Shana, and Nefesh, physical space, time, and the soul. So what he's saying is that physically, we're Zeichet Ibn Yushalayim. In terms of time, Zman Simchasenu is the time of Sukkot. And in terms of who we are, we've just gone through the Yom Neroim, and we've cleansed and purified ourselves. Sharei Kolonu Nekiyim Ruchutzim Ke'es Lagamrei. We've been completely cleansed and washed. We've gone through a whole Elul Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemetshuva, Yom Kippur. La'achas Hashem Yisbarach Mochel Lanu as Kol Avanu Seni B'Yom HaKadosh. We've been forgiven for all of our aveyers on Yom Kippur. Memeila Hashem Yisbarach Mashpia Kedusha Atzuma Ba'olam Shana Nefesh. Therefore, it's a time where we have access to unbelievable holiness on all three levels. Of what? Of Olam, of physical space, Yushalayim. Shana, time, Sukkot, and Nefesh, the soul. She says, "Kolel is kedushas haneshama hamakim v'azman." The soul, the place, and the time. Kosu mehar beit tzadikim, schusim egein aleinu, shekeis Hashem Yisbarach mashpi aleinu as hamatonish alzman simchaseinu. That this time of the year of Sukkot, Hashem is mashpi, Hashem infuses into our lives this simcha. Shenichel b'zeh, but it doesn't only mean the simcha of Sukkot. The question is, can I go on dancing and singing after Sukkot? So the tzaddikim have taught that b'meshach yimei hayomtiv mashpia Hashem Yisbarach shefa otzum shel simcha al yomim elu v'al kol yimei sashana. You have to realize that the energy source of simcha for the entire year is Sukkot. But that simcha of Sukkot is one that has the ability to provide you with simcha throughout the entire year. It's the root and it's the source of the simcha in time, is Sukkos. But throughout the entire year, one can draw from the simcha of Zman Simcha Seinem. Umekedushas ha-sukkah mashpia Hashem Yisborach es ha-simcha shel Beis HaMikdash. And we know, ufros aleinu sukkah shlomecha, sukkah shrachim mechayim v'sholom, we know that the sukkah, sitting in the sukkah, is a taste of what it's going to be like when the Jewish people are going to be in the Beis HaMikdash. Embraced by Hashem, held in Hashem's arms. You know that the sukkah, the shape of the sukkah, the minimum size of the sukkah, you know, is two walls and something, and a tefach, right? Two walls and a little bit. That's the minimum that has to be of the sukkah. Two walls and a little bit. So Rabbi Leibel Eger said, that's the way that you hug somebody. There are two walls, right? Here's the part of your arm till your elbow, right? Then there's the other part, your arm, and then there's your hand that's holding the person. That's how you hug someone. So the sukkah is being held in a hug, is being embraced. When Mashiach comes and the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, then the Jewish people will feel that embrace of Hashem Yisborach. Therefore, when you sit in the sukkah, you're experiencing a little bit of the Beis HaMikdash. Sha'olav Kosov Shezahayi Mesais Kol Ha'aretz. Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, was called the joy of the earth, the joy of the land. You know, Chazal tells there was a special place outside of the city where people would go to figure out their cheshbonos, their finances. You weren't supposed to figure out your cheshbonos inside Yerushalayim. Could you imagine? Because, you know, a lot of times it doesn't work out so well. So it's depressing. And because Yerushalayim is a Mesais Kol Ha'aretz, it's a place of joy, it's not fitting, it's not right that you should do your cheshbonos inside the city. You should go outside. There was a special place where everybody used to cry and krechts over their papers. But Yerushalayim is Mesais Kol Ha'aretz. It's the joy of the land. Therefore, among other reasons, there was no burial within the walls of ancient Yerushalayim, as you know. And to this day, there's no burial. Yerushalayim rejects sadness and depression and despair. Mesayis Kol Ha'aretz v'Simcha Shel Gan Eden. The sukkah is a feeling of the Beis HaMikdash, a feeling of the joy of Gan Eden, of paradise. Shehayah Sham Kisameichecha Yitzircha B'Gan Eden. That joy that once was in Gan Eden, that was struggling to recapture, to feel again, that's going to be when Mashiach comes. Mashiach is the Oisius, the letters of the word Mashiach is Yismach, there will be joy. Right? The letters Mashiach is Yismach. It's the Ikka that's going to be revealed with Mashiach is the Simcha. M'chol zeh nishpa, lo yirak al yomim elu, ela al kol yimais hashana. That embrace, that Simcha, of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Sukkah, of Yerushalayim, of Gan Eden, is a Simcha that has to carry us through the entire year. Not just for Sukkahs. Every yontiv, the Baruch Shalom blesses us. The Baruch Shalom is mashpia, a special shefa. There's a special koach that's infused into each and every Jew, each yontiv. To help us in serving Hashem the entire year. The sukkah zeh zman simcha seinu. It's the time of our joy. Hashem is baruch mashpia by shefa shel simcha al kol hashana. Ki zeh hazman shebay nishpoim kol hasmacha shalom. All simcha that you could have during the year, that you're able to have a simcha bez Hashem by chasne, by a bar mitzvah, by a bas mitzvah, that you're able to have the simcha of hearing any good news, all of that comes from Sukkos. It's only possible because there was Zman Simcha Seinu. And from the Zman Simcha Seinu, all simcha that a Jew could experience throughout the entire year becomes possible. Shehashem Yisborach mashpia by shefa shel simcha al kol hashana, for the entire year. Ki zeh hazman shebein nishpoim kol hasmocha shalonu shenishav mehazman hazeh avur kol yemais hashana. We draw from Sukkos for the entire year. L'chein b'yomim eilu evshe lahazmin l'hachin shefa shel simchis l'kol yemais hashana. To the extent that a person is able to find that joy within himself, especially Sukkos, he's able to establish, he's able to bring into his life the kind of joy that's going to affect his entire year in the most remarkable way. Ein zed av apashal adar b'lachem. So he explains to Rav Silberberg, he says it's not easy to speak in front of other people. Sometimes when a person is speaking, inaccurate words will come out. Therefore, I want to say before I begin that all that I'm going to speak about is only that together we should find chizik. Together we're going to find chizik. And it's not scientific, it's be'erech. I'm not quoting exactly right. Necessarily, you might find some mistakes in what I'm saying, inaccuracies. I'm making just suggestions. In other words, the ikkar here is not an intellectual abstract. The ikkar is his chazkus, chizik. And therefore, there might be an occasional inaccuracy in how I quote something. And therefore, I might be saying something in the name of somebody, perhaps it was someone else who said it, or I might have forgotten to mention the name of the tzaddik who said something. Tzaddikim, Schusim, again, Elenu Gilulanu, the tzaddikim have revealed to us. Sherotz Navinu Shabashamayim Shanavale Yisai B'Shtei Avaydis. That Hashem's Baruch has revealed to us that it's His will, the will of our Father in heaven, that we serve Him with two Avaydis. Ba'avaydis Ahava V'Asimcha. He wants us to serve us, to serve Him out of love and with great joy. Uba'avaydis Apachad V'Hayira. And He also wants us to serve Him with fear and with great awe. And it's hard for us to understand how to do that. The Zohar Kodesh says that if you want to understand the Jew, the Zohar says a Jew has, on one side of the heart he's crying, and the other side of the heart he's laughing. And that a non-Jew can't understand what that means. That there's what? That there's bechia, that there's crying in one side of the heart, and the other side of the heart is laughing. I mentioned always this time of the year, that the Koydenov, that Tzadik and Koydenov, that on Tisha B'Av he was dancing. And the Chassidim was startled, they were shocked that he was dancing at Tisha B'Av, and they asked the Rebbe, L'simcha Mazoisa? What's the simcha of Tisha B'Av? What's the Rebbe dancing at Tisha B'Av? And the Koydenov said that Tisha B'Av is a mitzvah to be said. And the Jew has to be mekayim the mitzvah with joy. That's what he said. So since there's a mitzvah to be said, we have to be mekayim that with great joy. Now, you say over that ma'isa, I said this once in a place where there were some who were chassidically challenged, as they say nowadays, and I had a terrible reaction to this story. What does that mean? How could you say that? What is that? You know, 1,000 kashas, and who says it? And I'm simple, and for me it's enough that tzaddik said it, and I believe it, and to understand such a ma'isa, you have to be a real Jew. Because the Zohar says, only a real Jew knows what it means to cry on one side and to laugh on the other side. And it's not a type of disaster. It's not a contradiction. So Hashem told us that He wants us to be filled with joy, to be filled with fear. And we don't know how to do that exactly. It's hard. So, V'seder ha'vaydehu t'kiya t'ruah t'kiya. So it says in the Sfarim, you know, when you blow the shofar, the first sound, t'kiya, that means joy. That means simcha. It's clear, it's beautiful. It's like when a baby comes to the world. That's tkiya, that's simcha, that's joy. Afterwards, things get a little bit messed up. So that's shvar m'tua, right? Things are starting to break. First, it's not so big, but then it starts to get broken to a million pieces. So that's already the sadness, with this fear, this trembling. That's trembling. Then, ultimately, there's a tkiya gedayla. There's that great, unbelievable sound of joy that we end with. So he says, this is the Seder of how we serve Hashem. The Seder Avaydehu Tkiya Truah Tkiya Tkiya Mayral Simcha. Tkiya means joy. And it was a sound of joy in the Beis HaMikdash. Kiya Haschola Tzvicha Liyesem Simcha. When you begin with joy. The beginning is with enthusiasm, with exuberance, with joy. Kiya Haschola Tzvicha Liyesem Simcha. Feilich, Leibedik. And only after the person feels joy and is filled with simcha, can he then introduce into his service of Hashem that fear and that trembling and that awe, which is the truer. And when it goes in that order, then the person will return once again to joy. people who begin, and it's so hard because very often the message that many of the children hear at the beginning of their chinuch is one of just fear and intimidation. And they don't hear, either from parents or from their teachers, the joy of being Jewish. And mimela, it's very hard after one begins with fear. If one begins with a clap, it's very, very hard to find simcha afterwards. So the ikar is, like it says, Avram hoilidus Yitzchak. What does that mean? That Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. Isn't that a wonder? That's the greatest wonder of all. Avraham is what midah. What midah is Avraham? Avraham is the midah of ahava, of love, of joy, of chesed, of loving kindness. Everything that's positive and wonderful, right? And he gave birth to Yitzchak. Yitzchak we're all afraid of, right? Even though his name means to laugh. That itself is wondrous. Right? But Yitzchak, everybody knows, means fear. It means trembling. Pachad Yitzchak, the trembling and the fear of Yitzchak. Avram Hoilidus Yitzchak is a healthy Seder in life. That one begins with joy, and from the joy one comes to fear and to tremble. Which ultimately returns to Yaakov, which is the Shleimus of Chedvas Yaakov and the Simcha of Yaakov Avinu, the perfect harmony between those two emotions of joy, of love, ahava and chesed, and of fear, of pachad. Avram Hoilidus Yitzchak means that the healthy way of serving Hashem is that one begins with tkiyah, with simcha, and that the simcha gives birth, Avram gives birth to Yitzchak, not to begin with Yitzchak, because if one begins with Yitzchak, one becomes paralyzed. One is unable to move on in life. I heard somebody said an amazing thing. I read that there was a Jew who was once sitting with somebody who survived the Holocaust. Somebody, a survivor who had come back intact with his emunah, with his faith, and so on. So this Jew asked him, "How do you understand that many of the survivors, when they, even though they were brought up in religious homes, after the war, many of them abandoned Yiddishkeit, and others kept Yiddishkeit? They went through the same similar experiences. No two experiences, of course, were the same, but they went through the horror of the milchama, of the war. One person came back observant, and the other person came back without Torah mitzvahs. And it's too simple to say that there are theological differences, because very often neither of them are philosophers. It's not a question of the goodness of God. So how do you explain?" So you know what this survivor said? A remarkable thing. And I think about this all the time. He said that he feels, he believes, that the war destroyed everything. So after the war, they had no point of reference. Parents were dead. The homes were destroyed. They had nothing. So all a person could do would try to... You can't create from nothing. Only Hashem can do that, Yesh Me'ayin. A human being can only create Yesh Me'yesh. So everybody needed to find some point of reference, something of the past, from which he could build a new life. Yesh Me'yesh, from something. So the survivor said that those Jews who, when they thought back, when they reflected back to their earlier years, and they remembered only a Rebbe smacking them across the face, and a father stuffing Yiddishkeit down his throat with no happiness, with no joy. So they were so badly beaten by Hitler, Yimach Shamayim. Why would they want to go back to something that was just another point, another sore point in their memories? But those Jews who had memories of Yiddishkeit that were loving and were caring and were warm and were filled with simcha, and they came to this country and they had nothing and they had to find a way to survive, they grabbed onto that. they held strong to the Yiddishkeit of the past, because that was the Yiddishkeit that gave them life and gave them joy. And therefore, in their minds, it was a source of simcha. And you have to realize that we have to do that for our children and for ourselves. And many of us are still struggling with these things. You have to begin with simcha. Once you begin with simcha, then a person can survive. And not only can a person survive, but there must be pachad and yira. There must be Yitzchak. Without a Yitzchak, chalila, the whole thing falls to, you can't have, God forbid, just an avim. There has to be Yitzchak. Lachain, therefore, he explains, Haseda shel hashanahu, look at the order of the year. Even the order of the year on the calendar. Look at the order of the year. Pesach u'shvuas shehem zmanei simcha. Pesach and Shavuos are times of unbelievable joy. It's tkiyah. Tkiyah, that's Pesach and Shavuos. So ach mikain, and only after we go through the unbelievable joy of Pesach and Shavuos, then comes what? Ben hamitzarim ve'elu. Then comes the sadness, the shvarim, the brokenness of what? Of Tammuz and of Av, and the fear and the trembling of Elul and Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur, right? But first, there must be simcha. That's the Seder. Of course, the Yom Tovim begin in the Torah, they begin with Nisan. And the Seder is Pesach, Shavuos, and then Sukkot. So this is the Seder. Shem Zman Neir Haba Mitoich HaRgoshes Ahava. The only way that the Jewish people can be able to survive again. The beginning is Simcha. The beginning is Pesach and Shavuos. That's the beginning. That's the Tkiyah. And now, because of that, he's able to go through any shvarim and trua in life, and he must, because every one of us has to go shvarim and through those days of shvarim and trua of being broken. But he's able to come back to simcha. He began with simcha, and he's going to end with simcha, which is sukkis man simcha seinu. Ulaachem ikein shuv zman simcha seinu shehusiyim haragolim and hatayra. And Sukkot, of course, is the completion of the cycle of Yontivs. And it's not only the Daraisa Yom Tovim, the Yontivs from the Torah, but even the Yontivs that the Chachamim blessed us with. Maschilim and Chanukah. We begin with Chanukah in the Seder of the year, so we begin with Chanukah. Shehuzman halal v'haydoyim. Tkiyah simcha. Chanukah is simcha. Unbelievable joy. Lachem Ikein, after that we come to the difficult weeks of the Shoivivim. Some of you might not know what the Shoivivim are, some of you do know. Those weeks of the slavery of the Golos of Shmois, Ve'era, Boy Bishalach, Yisroi Mishpotim. Those are the days when a Jew is supposed to work on his Midas, on confronting the darker side of his own impulses and so on. Vahasiyim hu in Purim. And then comes Purim. Which is the highest possible level of joy of Purim. The highest level of joy. So even in the Seder of the calendar of the year, the order is always Tkiyah, Shrom Trua, and the Tkiyah Gedoyla. Sukkot is the Tkiyah Gedoyla from the Torah, and Purim is the Tkiyah Gedoyla, is that great sound of simcha, midrabanan, of the chachamim. And so it is with everything in life. But now we begin, just a few more minutes, we begin an unbelievable inyan. And again, this is something that might sound very odd to those who have not seen the Sforma Kedoshim. So you have to give it a chance. And I'll try to explain, because he's makatsir here. He says this very briefly. So I'm going to have to explain this more, Mitzvashem, next week. We'll just start a little bit. The Kosuv of Mitzadikim. Shagam b'seder ha'doyres hukach. Not only is this the order of the year, that from joy, through the joy, one comes to fear. Only a joy, only a fear that's built upon a healthy personality, a joyous person. Not only is that true, Lagabe, as far as the year is concerned, but even if we look at Jewish history, At the Seder HaDairis, Hukach, it's also this way. Shebedaris HaRishayim Haisa HaAvayda Yaisa Mitech Simcha. In the earliest generations of our people, the means of serving Hashem was primarily of joy. Now, the beginning of our people was one of prophecy, of Nevuah. Torah Shebachsav, Nevuah. And Nevuah was a time of unbelievable passion in serving Hashem, of singing, of dancing, of uncontrolled emotions in serving Hashem. It's the beginning of our journey in Avodas Hashem was with prophecy. The Koch of Nevuah throughout the period of Tanakh, the period of the first Beis Hamikdash. That entire period of time is connected to Lei Imeinu. We'll talk more about that next week. It's connected to Lei Imeinu. Nevuah, prophecy. It's a time when the imagination of the Jewish people is very, very, very strong. The power of imagination. The creativity. Naturally, it brought with it certain negative things. When there's great passion, great love, and great warmth, it could spill into wrong things as well. It could cause problems. And that's what happened in the days of the first Beis Hamikdash when idolatry of Avodah Zarah became also uncontrolled. Because you know that in this world everything is Zelu Mazeh Asar HaElokim. For everything that's holy, there's always a counterforce that fights against it in impurity. Hashem maintains the balance of creation always in such a way. So there was a time at the beginning of our people there was unbridled passion, emotion, imagination, creativity in the service of Hashem. But that brought with it also unbelievable Avodah Zarah, craziness that we don't even understand. When we read these things in Tanakh, it looks to us like, you know, what's going on with these people? I never would have done such a thing. It's not true. It's not true. We would have been the biggest Mishagoyim. That was the beginning. There was tremendous simcha that was available in the world with that clarity of feeling Hashem's presence. It was so clear. It was so clear. There was prophecy. There were prophets in the world. And the simcha was unbelievable. That's the beginning of our people. Ulachar mikein b'deres ha'acharon with later generations, which began mostly the period of the second Beis Hamikdash and what we're in right now. Ha'isa avay li'oisim etoch yir v'taneisim. The main way of serving Hashem became that of fear. Fear, fasting, just worrying about every single detail in halacha, but so much of the joy, the simcha, the passion has been lost. Ubesiyim hadayrus, but now we're coming to the end of time. That means from the time of the Baal Shem Tov and on. Ubesiyim hadayrus shabay onu nimtzoyim keis rotz navini shabeshmaim shikra avayde tirak mitaycha hava v'simcha v'chizik. Now we're coming, these last few years, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was sent to the world to begin to sound the final tekiah. You know, you heard of the Yid HaKadosh, the Holy Jew from Pshischa? The Yid HaKadosh from Pshischa. The Yid HaKadosh, before he died, he used to say all the time that he hears the sound of the Shofar of Mashiach. He used to say that. This is already a long time ago. It's already a long time ago. It's, 185, 190 years ago. He said he heard the sound of Mashiach, the Shofar of Mashiach. He heard that tekiah. If you have good ears, we could hear that now every day, all the time, with all the things that are going on, with all the craziness that's going on. The world is looking, is searching for more simcha, for more emunah, for more warmth, for more love, for more passion. And I mentioned this last year. 15, 20, 30 years ago, if you would walk into a secular bookstore, you wouldn't have an entire wall of spirituality and self-help and being happy books, you know, happiness for dummies and so on, like they have a million books on these things, right? You wouldn't have seen it. In general, the world of our parents and grandparents was a darker world that was filled with a way of serving Hashem that was primarily revolving around awe and fear. We'll talk more about that in Mitzvah Hashem next week. The world is looking for simcha now. Therefore, as we'll read next week in Mitzvah Hashem from Rav Kook, where it used to be that philosophers were the most respected people and scientists, they were the most respected people in our parents' and grandparents' days in the secular world. Nowadays, movie stars, athletes. What does that mean? As we get closer to the days of prophecy, Mashiach, Eliyahu Navi, the imagination is beginning to, that last tkia, that last sound of the shofar, of unbridled passion, of imagination let loose, is beginning to infiltrate into our lives. What this brings, which this can bring, is tremendous simcha, more than since the days of Nevuah. But what it could also bring is the craziness of modern civilization. Craziness. With new types of Avodah Zarah that haven't been here for thousands of years. But in the Seder of the generations, we began in that way. We began in that way of Leah. And only afterwards it was Leah, and only afterwards was Rachel Imeinu. And ultimately it's going to end with the Ikar being Mashiach ben David, which is Leah Imeinu. Leah, which we'll see next week, we'll talk about. Leah means prophecy. Leah means simcha. Leah means the inner essence of the self. Rachel Imeinu means Tarei Shebaal Peh. Rachel Imeinu means being worried and concerned about every tiny detail. It's the Ikar is Tarei Shebaal Peh, and serving Hashem out of fear. The return to Leah Imeinu at the end of time means a return to prophecy and a return to simcha. Hashem is Baruch wants that the Iker Havai, the main way to seek Him now, is to love and through our simcha and chizik. As the seer of Lublin, the Chayzer said, Hashem is Baruch L'Avram Avinu B'cha Chayzman. Chazal tell us that Hashem told Avram Avinu B'cha Chayzman, which means even though we say in the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, but the bracha ends with what? Mogen Avram. And Hashem told Avram Avinu B'cha Chayzman that you should know that there is a way for Yitzchak, there's a way for Yaakov, but B'cha Chayzman means that the Chasima, which means the last generation before Mashiach comes, which is called the Chasima, the conclusion of history, that's the Chasima. We're now holding by Chasima, by the Ni'ilah of history. Hashem told Avraham Avinu B'cha Chayzman, there's a place and there's a time for Yitzchak and for Yaakov. But B'cha Chayzman, the Chasima means that before Mashiach comes, the Iker, the essential way of drawing close to Hashem, of being close to Hashem, is going to be through the way of Avraham Avinu, which is Ahava and Chesed. That's the essential way of coming back, and that's the only way to bring back children, to bring back adults nowadays. The Iker way is B'cha Chayzman. You could scare people into being Jewish, but it doesn't last, to being frum. The Iker is B'cha Chayzman, is the way of Avraham Avinu. She'ikar avayde b'yameinu, he midas ahava v'asimcha. Midas ahava v'asimcha. Avadosu shel Avraham Avinu. K'moy she'heidelov Hashem Yisbarach, Avraham ayhavi. As Hashem said about Avraham Avinu, Avraham, the one who I adore, the one who I love. And that's the way nowadays, the Iker way, to educate ourselves and our children, to be makariv Jews these days, is the Iker is going to be mitaych ahava. And the main way of serving Hashem in our days, even though of course there must be the trembling and the fear, which we'll talk about, but the Iker has to be wrapped up in Simcha before Tkiyah, and the Simcha of the Tkiyah Gedolah, and only then can it be with the proper measure of fear and the proper measure of trembling in that sandwich, that delicious sandwich of Simcha of Avraham Avinu. Can there be then a healthy personality of Yira of Yitzchak? But we'll continue Bez Hashem next week.